and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
How's things?
Yeah, okay. The world feels like a bit of a weird place, but we'll get onto that later.
Well, I went out, like properly out, first time this week. I went to the seaside.
Ooh.
I know. It was very exciting to go to the beach. And just it was weird because I haven't been to the sea for a long time. I love the sea. I find the sea a very calming thing.
Okay.
But I prefer it rough. But it wasn't a rough day, but it was nice. Went to Frinton-on-Sea in Essex.
Very nice.
And I don't know about you as a family, but when we go out as a family, we take so much stuff that it's like we're going away for a week.
How long were you going for?
Just a day, a few hours.
And what sort of unnecessary stuff did you take?
Well, we had so much stuff. I mean, as a family, there were 12 of us, and we probably had something in the region of, I don't know, 14 bags with fold-up little kind of tents in for the kids to sit in on the beach, all the towels and everything for people, the swimming costumes, all the food, the cool boxes, all the drinks. One of them brought off an inflatable kayak.
Blimey. I thought you were like a bit of a minimalist family when it came to things like this.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm fairly minimalist. I took one rucksack with everything I needed in it.
Well, that's fine.
But the rest of the family isn't. So anyway, we trudged down to the beach, got all set up, and then realised that the tide was going to come right up to where we've been sitting. So we managed to set it all up for about half an hour, then I had to put it all down again and disappear off the beach because the sea came right in. But it was nice anyway. It was nice to be out and about. And it's weird when you've not been out for months in that sense. I've been to a park a few times, but to be out with so many different people. And there's something about the beach, isn't there, that kind of brings out certain characteristics in people.
Such as?
Well, such as the competitive dad.
The competitive dad.
The competitive dad. Now, I'm not talking about my dad. We were just sitting there quietly. But I was just observing what was going on, all the families on the beach. And I'm not saying all dads are competitive, but I think the beach brings out a competitive spirit in many dads. So I'm watching them, and because all the games that you take to the beach, there's the football, there's frisbee, cricket, you know, there's all those games going on. And I was watching, and so many dads were sort of in the competitive spirit and not giving their kids a chance.
Oh, so you mean competitive towards the kids, not competitive to other dads?
No, towards the kids.
Just on a side note,
yeah.
How on earth do you play cricket on a beach?
What do you mean, how do you play cricket on a beach?
Well, you can't bowl a cricket ball.
Well, you use a tennis ball,
go straight to the
you?
Sand and stick there.
Use a tennis ball.
But that's not going to bounce in sand, is it?
Of course it bounces in sand. And the beauty of the tennis ball is when you hit it for six and it goes into the sea, it floats. So you can go and retrieve the ball. The tennis ball is the answer to all ball issues of that size on the beach.
I suppose you need to play on quite wet sand for it to work.
Fairly, but, you know, sand... Yes, I mean, the wetter the sand, the better, probably.
The wetter the better.
The wetter the better, yeah. So I'm watching these dads, and there was one dad, he was playing cricket with his kids. They had the three stumps in the sand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are only about six or seven, right? And the dad is bowling at him like he's Jimmy Anderson or Jofra Archer. I mean, it was just ridiculous. These poor kids didn't have a chance. One bowl, he came in and he knocked the stumps out. And rather than go, oh, never mind, put them back in, have another go, he was like, yes, you're out. For these poor kids. Then there was another dad. He had like these... They were like, I don't know quite how to describe them. They were shaped like almost like a missile or giant dart. And I think they had some sort of tennis ball element in the end, because when they hit the ground, they would bounce a little bit, like some sort of rubber ball thing. And his kids, I guess, were sort of 10 and maybe 14. And rather than just sort of throwing these things at each other, just gently having a bit of fun with them, he was throwing them like he was throwing a javelin, like all power behind it, smacking the kids in the back. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I thought, what is wrong with this man? He looked about 40, my sort of age, and he's completely lost the plot. A day out at the beach, gone mad.
Well, I don't know. I think in your role as godfather to many, many kids, you've got this sort of thing where you want to just keep them happy and...
Yeah.
You know, do the right thing, let them win.
You don't let them win all the time. There's got to be the element where they learn how to lose, but you don't sort of, you know, you don't treat them in the same way as adults when it comes to a sport-like thing.
Well, you see, I think if I was godfather to children, I would do that same thing that you do. I would let them win now and again. However, at the time of recording, currently childless, I guarantee you, if I have children, I will not let them win.
Well, you know what? I thought, this is what I was thinking. I was sitting there watching this, and you came to mind. And I thought, you being so competitive, I'm not sure you would. You couldn't help yourself, could you?
No, and I'm not the most sporty guy in the world, so I'm sure they'll get their first win against me sooner than most. But when it comes to things like video games, no. I have not put in years of practice to be beaten by a child. No.
Wow, it's amazing. I've never understood this thing, because my dad never really... Like, there wasn't a competitive element. The only thing I remember my dad... doing that, not competitive, but he would sort of just thrash me in. We went through the stage of playing a bit of chess when I was about 10 or 11, and he was sort of teaching me the very basics of chess, and that's as far as I've ever got in life with chess. But that he would do that thing where he could beat me in four moves or something.
Oh, don't they call that fool's mate when you beat them in a certain amount of moves?
It might be, and he would do that occasionally. And I think that's why I gave up with the chess in the end. He was like, "Oh, I don't know how to do this," so I gave up. But no, I did think that you'd never be able to do it, and it would just be mad. I remember once, right, being on holiday. It's not just the competitive dad. It's when you get the competitive dad stroke competitive husband. I was on holiday years ago in Littlehampton by the sea again, and they've got a crazy golf course, or pitch and putt, I think it was, actually. Mm-hmm. And we're doing that, and honestly, this bloke, he had, I think, two kids, and his wife was, I think his wife was called Maureen, right? Poor old Maureen, right? She clearly didn't give a shit about this. And all we could hear was, "No, Maureen, not Maureen, you don't hit it like that, Maureen. Maureen, no, go and get the ball, Maureen." And then the kid would come and have a go. I don't know what the kid's name was, but it was a similar thing. And just the whole time, this bloke was just basically shouted at his wife and kids because they weren't doing it good enough for his presumably PGA standards that he was going for. I mean, absolutely ludicrous. I really wanted to punch him.
I'm glad that you were looking on the beach at all these people you thought were basically pricks, and I sprang to mind. That's lovely. No, but the truth is, it's not just a macho pride thing with me when it comes to this competitive streak. If I have a child, and you know, they will grow up with a controller in their hand, believe me, when they finally do beat me for the first time, that will feel so much better for them than if it was handed to them on a plate.
Well, that's what I was, well, yes, but I mean, what I'm saying is, you can't, that there are times if you're playing like a board game with kids, like there are times when you will let them win.
No, then what was the point in bringing the board out?
Just for a bit of fun.
What you're talking about is essentially match fixing, which is a terrible lesson for children to learn.
Wow, you're taking it. You have got competitive dad syndrome. You've definitely got it. So something happened to me this week, Ben, that I think is the most disgusting thing I've ever had to confront.
Wow, you know, in the old radio days, we were always told over and over again to hook the listeners at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Say something really good.
Yeah.
The most disgusting thing I've ever had to deal with. That is a good hook, my friend.
Yeah, well, that would have got us a good mark with the program controller, that sort of thing, wouldn't it? And the thing was, this thing happened on the same day as the beach outing, and I discovered it in the morning, but couldn't deal with it first thing because I had to get going to get to the beach. So it was hanging over me all day until I got home.
Oh, I'm suddenly thinking back to that mysterious noise you heard a few weeks ago and that mystery animal that may have been dying somewhere.
Nothing to do with a noise this time.
Okay.
So it's quite early, Sunday morning, open the front door, and as soon as I open the front door, a huge number of flies took flight.
Oh.
And I thought, bloody hell, what's that? I looked down, and there is quite a lot of what I'm going to call human waste on my front path.
Someone took a shit on your front path?
Yes, someone has taken a dump on my front path.
You're not serious.
I'm deadly serious, right? And everyone I've said, their first reaction has been, hey, how do you know it's human? How do you know it's not, you know, what, surely it's just a dog or fox, something like that.
Well, I think I yeah, I mean, it does have a distinct different appearance, not to be gross, but it does, kind of.
Yes, I think the giveaway was some sort of leaflets that had been used for the wiping process that had also been left on the front path.
Oh, no.
So there's three or four piles of shit and then several reams of leaflet also covered in human feces.
Now, what's baffling to me about this is that I know the layout of your house without giving your address away or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take my word for it. I know the layout of your front garden and your front path. And by doing it on your path would offer no privacy instead of just doing it on the pavement.
No, I mean, there is a bush that is slightly overgrown at the moment, which would offer perhaps a little cover. But, I mean, it's... But I just don't... I mean, I was furious. I was absolutely livid. And
I can imagine. And I need to know, have you upset anyone recently?
No. No, this was what worried me. I thought, is this a deliberate act? I thought, if this happens more than once, I'm going to have to get the police involved. And they can take it for a DNA sample.
Oh, what a lovely job.
And it's only happened the once so far. But I just... The more I think about it, the less angry I am about it, the more perplexed I am about the whole thing. It's like, why would you do that? There is no justification for that.
Well, I was going to say it might have been someone who was out of their mind drunk. But then again, I don't think if you were so out of your mind drunk that you needed to take a shit in someone's pathway, that you would have the forethought to bring paper or nab junk mail to use as a wiping aid.
Well, I did wonder whether the leaflets had come out of my paper recycling.
Ah.
Because that bin is fairly near to the area of soilment.
Now, again, not to be gross, but if I was crapping in public, I wouldn't particularly... Now, forgive me for this. I'm not sure how much I'd hang around wiping afterwards. I would want to decrease the amount of time my arse was in the air... as much as possible and get the hell out of there.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, there wasn't that, you know, there was only sort of three bits. They hadn't been, again, I don't want to get into too much detail because it's just horrible, but I doubt they'd spend that much time on that bit
right.
of the process. Do you know what I mean? It's just unbelievable. I just, my faith in humanity takes a massive dent when things like this happen, because I think even if I was so drunk, there'd still be something in my mind that would go, you can't be doing that. That's not right. You know, at what point does someone go, oh, yeah, no, I'll pop into, you know, and make no attempt to even clean, like, even if it was the worst moment and you knew you couldn't hang on, wouldn't you make some sort of effort to sort of just get rid of it or clean it up after yourself? I mean, it's just, I can't believe it.
But no, because they have to minimise, if they're in their right mind, they have to minimise the amount of time they are dealing with excrement on your pathway when you could come out of anywhere at any moment. They cannot be caught with the poo. They cannot be caught cleaning up the poo. They need to get away from the poo as fast as possible.
Oh, man. Honestly, it is the most disgusting. And then, so this was overhanging me all day Sunday, having a lovely time at the beach. And all really what was going on was in the back of my mind is, when you get home, you've got to try and sort out a whole pile of human shit.
I am dying to know how you approach this task. I wouldn't know where to begin.
Well, it was tricky. The first thing to do, I mean, look, even with gloves, I'm not going too near it. Do you know what I mean?
I was going to say, there's the old dog walker's method of the double plastic bag.
No, fuck no. That's not... Jesus Christ. I wouldn't even... That's part of the... I'd love a dog, but part of the reason I'm not sure I could pick up dog shit.
Yeah.
I think once you've got a dog, that becomes something that you just deal with. But at the moment, I haven't got a dog. So picking up shit, I'm not used to. As you say, I've got lots of godchildren, but I've never dealt with nappies. I haven't got my own children. So the whole thing to me is just... It really puts me on edge. It's right. I'm not comfortable around the whole poo thing, right?
Okay.
So it was like, gee, what the fuck do I do? It's first thing, go out in my back garden and find from the shed a fairly longish piece of wood, just sort of a long stick. And that was really used for ushering out the front path, the leaflets, the wiped leaflets.
Ugh.
Ushering them out of the pathway, across the pavement, and into the curbside of the road.
You can't leave it in the middle of the road.
Fuck, mate, that's where it's ended up. I'm not doing it. It's not my shit. It's not. I'm not picking it up and putting it in my bin.
I should report you for littering.
Report me for littering. It's fine. I'll take the fine. I'm not picking it up. I'm not bagging it up. It's going out into the road, and it will be dealt with by the street cleaner, bless him, or whoever, you know, or it'll be blow away with the wind. It's someone else's problem. Right. So then came the next thing, is dealing with the waste itself. Right.
Oh.
I can't get a hose out because it's out the front. So I haven't got a hose long enough to reach. So it was bucket of water, sluice it down. Mm. First few bits of water, all it did was unleash the stench. That's all that did.
Water or cold water? Just out of interest.
Hot water.
That might have been a mistake.
I'll tell you what.
You've woken it up.
The stench is still in my nostrils now, 2 days after the incident. And so this just carried on. It was like, I don't know what else to do. It's just a matter of sluice, sluice, sluice. So I think I'd got about 10 buckets into the process, and it wasn't shifting. And I just thought, what the fuck am I going to do? So... I thought this was the most horrible part of the process. I do hope you're not eating dinner if you're listening to this podcast right now.
Do you think we should have put a disclaimer at the beginning of this podcast? We should have done.
So I thought, because it's not really shifting, it kind of needs to be loosened up a little bit. It seems to be stuck to the paving stones that are on my path. So the stick came out again, and there was a little bit of... almost stirring. I mean...
Oh, for fuck's sake, that's been the worst thing said this podcast. It's been pretty disgusting so far. That's the worst.
So anyway, it was just... that seemed to shift it a bit. But it must have taken... in the end, I think... we must be talking 25 buckets of water, just sluicing it down. Oh, it eventually cleared it. And then I thought, well, the stench was still there. So then I got another bucket, loaded it with bleach, another sluice down. And then I left it. It was dark by then. I left it. I thought, well, it's dealt with. And then the next morning, I opened the front door and the stench hit me again.
Oh.
The stench, the flies were still there. There was nothing for them to be on, but the flies, they're just the smell alone.
So let's another just refer to it as... it, but yes. Where had it ended up?
Well, I'd sluiced it again. I tried to sluice it all down into the curbside of the road because I didn't want it to land on the pavement. It had to go beyond my path because I couldn't leave it on the pavement and someone could tread in it. It's dark. So it needed to, you know, that was the thing. It was like sluicing it on a journey. You know, get because it was right, the thing was, it was right up by my front door as well, so it's got to make the journey through down the whole front path, which isn't very long, but it, you know, it is for a piece of shit.
It was right by the front door.
Well, yeah, about a step away from the front door, because that's where the bush overhangs a little bit.
Oh, it's sounding more and more like you've upset somebody.
Well, I tell you what, it's one of those things where it makes you think, I need a camera. I need to set up a camera. Because then I was reading this thing, literally the day after, the police were investigating a man who was caught on CCTV excreting on the porch of a London flat in Fulham. Now, I'm nowhere near Fulham, but is this something that's becoming more prevalent? The doorstep
crapper. You're not a million miles from Fulham.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're crapping in Fulham... and I'm in Croydon, it's like there's a good couple of train journeys.
That gives you time to reload. Trev, you asked me how I was at the beginning of the podcast, and I sort of said, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm starting to think there's something in the air.
It's not the stench of human shit, is it?
No, well, frankly, your story has sort of proved to me already that people are acting peculiarly at the moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Well, I think it's post-lockdown. I think people have gone a little bit mental.
They have. I've had a few instances. Normally, my days are filled with very pleasant people. People are just on edge at the moment and behaving weirdly.
Right.
I delivered to somebody the other day who happened to open her front door the second I arrived, and I hadn't managed to knock or anything like that. So she opened the door, and in the door frame was all 6'4" of me looming over her, which I admit could be a bit of a surprise.
So she wasn't sort of waiting for you.
No.
She just happened to open the door as you were there.
Yeah, it happens more than you think, actually. People happening to be leaving the house just as I arrive.
Okay.
But she clearly wasn't expecting it. She screamed like something out of a horror film. Thankfully, she soon calmed down and saw the funny side and we parted ways.
Yeah.
But I've had many instances of people just going from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat, and I don't understand why. There's been two instances this week where people have got furious with me.
Oh, really?
And I kind of understand. No, I don't understand, actually. They're idiots. And in both instances, I'm afraid to say, they were tradesmen.
Right, okay.
So I was walking towards a house which was having some work done on it.
Yeah.
And all the builders had stopped and were standing by the front door having a cup of tea. Must have been their mid-morning break or something.
Yeah.
Now I'm walking. They see me. One of them even says, "Morning, Postie." I say, "Morning."
Very friendly so far.
Friendly so far. Then I walk down some steps.
Yeah.
The minute I step foot onto the steps, which lead to the front door, one of them loses the plot.
Well,
we've just relayed that. But, and you know, you should have asked before you stepped on it, blah, blah. I thought, hang on a minute. Fine. First of all, I apologise if I've damaged your fairly shoddy-looking brickwork. Second of all,
it was brickwork? Well, not all cemented. You were trodden in wet cement.
I trod on a brick slab that was on wet cement. I assume.
Oh,
and
to be fair,
I have fucked it up a bit. This person does now have a slightly uneven step. Because
well,
no,
presumably they would have put it right.
No, they didn't. Well, if they did, they didn't do a very good job. And the same thing happened today. I was walking towards someone's front door, walked past a tradesman. Morning. Morning, mate. Very nice. Very friendly again. I started to push the post through the front door and he goes off on one. Just don't do that. That door's not on its hinges yet. You'll knock it over.
Right.
And
well,
I said again, I have to be professional. So I said, all right, sorry. Apologies. Won't happen again. And off I trot, seething. Because I thought in both instances, you both saw me coming.
Yeah.
There are clues as to what I do. There is a big red jacket. There's a mailbag.
There's
the mail in my hands. You all know where it's going. Why could you not have warned me in advance? Why did you wait till I started fucking up? And then why did you not just politely tell me? Why is everyone screaming at me?
I don't know, mate. I mean, the thing about it is, right, two things come to mind. One is, if they've laid a pathway that's not to be walked on, surely they should put up some sort of thing, barrier,
put a cone up.
Sign, cone, some sort of visual indication that that's not to be walked on.
I agree completely. So I apologise for having inconvenienced these people briefly. Have I told you the story already about how I had another woman screaming at me last week?
Yes, that does ring a bell. Yeah, or a couple of weeks ago. What happened then? You did tell
I don't know if we did it on the podcast or not. I cut across someone's front lawn, which is a bit naughty, and I apologise for it. Hands in the air for that one. Shouldn't do it. I walk about 10 miles a day, so when there's a shortcut to be taken,
right,
I'll often take it. She came bolting out the front door, screaming at me.
Well, is this like a front lawn?
Yeah.
Like, how big a space?
I'd say about 10 foot square.
Okay.
If that. And then I just stood in stunned silence. And she screamed, in case she thought I'd missed it, she repeated the whole performance and screamed at me all over again with the same stuff.
What was her reason for screaming at you? Because she'd walked on the grass.
She thought I'd cut through her hedge. First of all, she didn't have a hedge. She had sticks. Hampton Court maze, it was not.
Right,
let's put it that way.
Okay.
So I'm
just
furious
fucking everyone
this
off, aren't you?
I know, but I admitted that one was a bit
cheeky. Are you cutting through the sticks?
I was, but technically it was such a shit hedge that I was stepping over it, to be fair.
Right, so the issue wasn't walking on the grass, it was the fact that you were you were walking through a hedge.
Walking over some twigs, in my opinion, but yes.
How high was this row of twigs?
Oh, it can't be more than 2 foot.
Right, it's so it is step-overable.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But she clearly disagreed.
Does that then lead into the next door's...
No, that leads back onto the pavement. And I just think...
Pavement, okay.
I think, yeah, okay, it was a bit cheeky. And if you'd come out and said, excuse me, Posty, if you don't mind, we're trying to grow the hedge. And, well, yeah, you are. Not in great luck. We're trying to grow the hedge. Would you mind not doing that, please? Because we worried you might hurt it. And I'd have said, of course, I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
And apologies.
Very nice. Very, very polite of you.
It would have been, but she came out screaming at me, and I just thought, what is it with people that everyone needs to go around being such an overreacting dick at the moment?
Well, no, I think you're absolutely... The world is quite an aggressive place at the moment, and, I mean, you're out in the sticks anyway, so if anger is reaching out to the sticks, then you know things are wrong, because London is just a boiling pot at the moment. Everywhere you go, there's just absolute rage. There's been, I mean, my road, as we talk about it a lot, is a hotbed of rage at the best of times. But the
it
moment,
sounds like it.
But yeah, the moment things are just going mental. I mean, obviously, my thing, I don't know. I mean, I was the one doing the rage on that occasion. But we've had several incidents down the road in the last few weeks where proper, like full-on screaming matches are going on. And it's just mental. The world is just... I think lockdown has had such an effect on people.
Mm.
And the problem is there's no... Like, there's nothing positive at the moment, is there? Like, if you look at the news, it's just horrible. You just watch the news and you think, oh, here we go, another fuck-up by the government somewhere on the line. And then you try and look elsewhere and there's just the American elections kicking off. So there's nothing sort of positive going on, you know, that kind of is making everyone feel calm.
Yeah. And I know it's not just me, because you seem to be having some bad experiences, let's put it that way.
Yes.
I'm having some bad experiences with the normally lovely public.
Yeah.
My friend, this didn't happen to me, but my friend, you know, we're going through the middle of Storm Francis this week and the weather has been appalling.
Yeah, it's been pretty windy.
My friend, who does not suffer fools gladly either, and he's not quite as... patient as I am with dealing with these idiots, and believe me, I'm not that patient.
I was going to say, it's like, this man, he must go like that. I mean,
we had pissing down rain this week. We got absolutely soaked, and he had someone come flying out of their house straight at him. Again, 0-60 in a half a second. I said, why is my mail wet?
And he says, raining.
He said, oh. Why is your mail wet? Oh, I took it for a swim.
You can't be doing that sarcastic response.
Why the fuck do you think it's wet? Look up.
Do you have... Is there like a technique? Like, there's no way you could not get the mail wet. I mean, unless you can walk to a house that then has a porchway, and you could... Presumably your bags are waterproof enough to see through most rain... But, you know, if you haven't got a porchway, there's a moment where that mail has to come out of your bag and he's in the open, even if it's for a brief second. If it's pissing it down, it's going to get wet.
Yep, and you wouldn't believe how many people can't understand that. There it is.
But then, I mean, it depends on how wet. I mean, I must admit, I had one come through the door a few weeks ago and it was pissing it down. And, like, it's almost like he has walked along with this out. It shouldn't come out of the bag until you're at least near my house. I can kind of get people's response, but it doesn't worry you. I mean, unless it's really important. Like, I couldn't give a shit that my tax bill was a little bit wet when it came through the door. It doesn't worry me.
It can go the other way, though. There's a difference between a bit wet and paper mache.
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, you don't want that, do you?
No. I think a good lesson in life... And I'm not saying this reflects on me in any way. And I'm not, well, I am petty and vengeful, but I just say, don't piss off your postman. It's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, I mean, just don't piss off anyone, really. Because the thing I find is that, again, I don't know if it's because of lockdown, but people are behaving with less intelligence and common sense than before. Or it's the fact that I've been... Yeah, we've all been so isolated that the moment you sort of come out of that, you realise how shit people are.
Yeah, and general. I think there's the added tension of, you know, knowing it's not really the normal times and we're all supposed to back away from each other a little bit and everyone's a little bit more jumpy than usual.
Jumpy is the word. People are definitely a bit more jumpy. And I think that that's what's making people get into these rages.
Mm.
And the thing is, it's all about little things. And I'm like it. I'm getting so enraged by tiny little things. I mean, I got enraged the other day because, tiny little thing. I went to change channels on my telly and it crashed. Just a little crash. And it sent me over the edge a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I literally for about 10 minutes, I was in such a rage because, I need things to be good at the moment. And when something little happens, it's like I can't cope with that as well. Like, there's enough going on without the telly going a bit wrong.
I must say I had a very similar thing myself. The Wi-Fi in my house went down for all of, I don't know, 4 minutes, and I was fit to tear the place apart.
I had a phone call yesterday, right, that said, I thought it was a scam. It was a recorded message when I picked the phone up, and it said, hello, this is Power UK or something. There's a power cut in your area. We've tracked it down to your number, or it's related to your phone number.
Sounds very suspicious.
Yeah, this is a press one for more details. Like, fuck off, I'm not doing that. So I hung up. And then the next thing, I get a message from my family, my parents, who only live around the corner from me. They'd had a similar thing. And then I looked it up and there was going to be a power cut in the air. It didn't happen for me in the end. But, I mean, things like that put you on edge. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's like, oh, God, is this a scam or not? You've got to find out if it's genuine, because there's so many people trying to do you over at the moment as well.
Oh, I know. I got an email from Netflix the other day, and I had to ring Mrs. Ben in the end. And I said, look, I've got this email from Netflix. It looks like the standard scam email, because A, they think I've had a password change. B, the location is completely wrong. But I said, it does look like a very authentic email, and it looks like it's been sent from an authentic sender as well. And she said, oh, yeah, that was me. I logged in on a device upstairs. And I just thought, oh, okay. Their geography's terrible, because I don't live in Brent or wherever the hell they thought it was. But I find myself not trusting any emails now.
No, I had one yesterday because I'm going through one of those annoying stages where I've had to have a new credit card. So anything that I had just on a monthly payment on the old one, I'm now getting all the emails to say we can't collect payment.
Ugh.
You know, so that sort of thing. So yesterday I got one that I thought was from Netflix, something about we can't take payment or something. And I thought, oh, that's all right. That's the normal thing I've got to do. I've got to change it. So I logged in, I changed it. And then I went back to the original email. And then I realized that that was actually a scam email. I mean, it didn't matter because I didn't use the scam email to log in to the Netflix and change anything. But I thought, God, it's like, oh, everything. You've got to double check everything.
Oh, you do. Even if I do get an email and it seems legit and I believe it to be real, I will never go and change a password clicking through the links on the email. Never.
The world's just a mess, mate. I think that's the conclusion we can come to. The world's just fucked. Now, last week's podcast, Ben, we got into talking about conspiracy theories a little bit.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, this week I came across, or it's just been released this week, I don't know, the top 20 most believed conspiracy theories that British people believe.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm not going to go for all 20, but I thought we could look at some. Okay. So at number
By the way, sorry, yes. here's my own little conspiracy theory before we get started on this one. Our podcast went out last week.
Yeah.
That was great. I was pleased with it. And then I go into work a couple of days after, and I'm setting up my stuff for the day. Zoe Ball, BBC Radio 2 playing in the background.
Yeah.
What are they talking about? Ice cream vans and their chimes.
Really?
Yeah. Then we talk about conspiracies, and magically the list of the top 20 conspiracies go up. I mean,
I'll tell you what.
Are we influencing people or what?
Well, the listening figures for our podcast would suggest not. But yeah, it's probably people are using us as a sort of material gathering place. You know, Radio 2, they hear we're doing ice cream van chimes, they'll nick it.
You know, we may not have as many listeners, but one of our listeners is definitely Zoe Ball.
Zoe Ball. So here's a few, right? 1% of Brits believe that the Earth is hollow.
Oh, 1%.
I mean, at what point would you ever think that the world is hollow?
Sorry, is that 1% of Brits or 1% of the
Brits,
world?
Of Brits.
Oh, that's still too high, isn't it?
Because the population of Britain is, what is it, about 70 million, isn't it?
Oh, man.
So 1% is a lot of people.
Christ.
I mean, I can't quite do the maths in my head, but, you know, 1% is a lot of people.
Right? Yeah.
Then, of course, 17% believe the Earth is flat. I mean, I still can't, because the Flat Earth Society, it's sort of been doing quite a roaring trade, for want of a better phrase, over the last few years, hasn't it? It's become more and more prevalent to talk about it. There's been several great documentaries on flat earthers, which dispel all the myths that the Earth is flat. I mean, I don't know how anyone could possibly believe now that the Earth is flat with all the evidence that we have. It's just, do you remember that thing? We did it when we were on the radio, that I think it was a tweet put out by the Flat Earth Society. Do you remember this?
I do remember. It was either a tweet or it was an official line on their website.
Yeah. Whether it's genuine or not, I don't know. But it was put out supposedly by the Flat Earth Society. And it said something like, the Flat Earth Society has members all around the globe. I mean, if you're going to be the Flat Earth Society, surely you put all across the globe.
Yeah.
No, don't use the word around if you're the Flat Earth Society.
Like,
unbelievable. Here's a couple of others that I think are great. 7% believe Paul McCartney died in 1966 and was replaced by a lookalike.
Yeah, this is a very long-running rumour, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, but dispelled, like, you know, years ago. Dispelled in the 70s.
It's all to do with him appearing barefoot on the album cover where they're crossing the
Abbey Road.
Zebra crossing.
Yeah,
Abbey Road, is it? Right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a funeral procession, and John Lennon's in the front in white, so he's like supposedly God, I think.
It's such nonsense.
It is, and they're supposed to be like, if you listen to the songs, he's eating Strawberry Fields Forever at the end. John Lennon's supposed to say, I buried Paul. It's just pure nonsense. But Paul McCartney, as we know, he's still well and truly alive. He pops up a lot. The lookalike who supposedly took his place, he had a name. Like, people actually identified this man as William Campbell or Billy Shears.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's no proof.
No, yeah, because it didn't.
No, it's just nonsense. 10% of Brits believe in reptilian royalty, that the Queen and all of that are lizards and they shapeshift.
10%.
I mean, this was all David Icke really put all that stuff out, didn't he?
About I was lizards. Hoping it'd be like 0.1% or something.
I mean, it's the same sort of thing, the Illuminati. I mean, 5% of Brits believe the Illuminati run the world, but some people put those things together and say that the lizards are the Illuminati and all that stuff. And it's like, do you remember when we had Mr. Conspiracy on the podcast and he talked about, he believes that there is this lizard race, and he genuinely believes it, that the royals and people in Parliament, and I mean, Boris Johnson's more like a snake, but not a lizard.
Yeah, it's complete bollocks.
Here's a couple of others for you. 14% think climate change is a hoax, and it's a bit of a controversial one about climate change. What do you feel about climate change? Because I'm totally into the belief that climate change is happening and it's man-made.
I don't really know well enough about this, and I wouldn't want to say anything definitive, because the truth is I just don't know. I suppose, do some people suggest that the Earth would be doing what it's doing despite human intervention?
Yes, that it's just sort of a cycle of phenomena that the world would go through anyway.
Okay, well, I'm not certainly qualified to disprove that, but I would say without any qualifications, find that hard to believe, that the amount of gases and shit that man has pumped into the atmosphere over the years has had no effect.
I mean, just look at the evidence that during lockdown, when there were less planes and cars about, pollution levels dropped. And I think even in some parts of the the atmosphere, the ozone layer started to repair itself a little bit because we weren't still pumping all the shit out there. So, I'm totally into the whole climate change is man-made thing because we're...
Well, that sounds good enough for me.
Yeah, well, there you go. 17% believe the moon landings were faked. Well, I won't have any of that. There's none of that going on. Here's a great one. 19% of Brits believe that COVID-19 is a cover so Bill Gates can implant trackable microchips in people.
He'll be busy.
Well, I mean, I've spoken to people who sort of believe this as well, and people I respect and like a lot, and they sort of have this thought that it could be that because Bill Gates was supposedly behind a potential vaccine, that the microchips would be in the vaccine, and so once you had the vaccine, you'd also have the microchip put in your body.
Yeah, I think some idiot there has come up with some sort of bad pun about Bill Gates and viruses for computers and stuff and just thought, I'll make a joke, and then it's just gone too far, really.
The thing about this thing in microchips in people, right, I remember years ago, right, part of my work when I was about 20, I used to have to put together some preachers stuff. It's like some mad preachers, right?
Okay.
And there was this one guy, I think his name was Barry Smith. He was from Australia or I think he was from New Zealand, actually. And he would go on about us all being microchipped, and that once we were microchipped, that was like the devil. The devil would have won once we were all microchipped. It was like letting the beast into you. And he was like massive. Like people would follow him like some sort of messiah figure because he would say all this stuff. And it was around the time of the millennium, so he was all about the end times and the end of the world. Well, you know, it's 2020 now, mate. And,
yeah, 2020 is the end of the world, mate.
But I mean, you know, he would go bang on about these microchips. And now I think people have picked up on it with Bill Gates. I mean, the chances are we're all going to be microchipped in the end. We are all essentially microchipped. But yeah, if you carry around a mobile or any electronic device, you're trackable anyway.
Yeah,
we put chips in our dogs and cats now. The chances are, not necessarily in my lifetime, but in the next 100-150 years, people will be microchipped.
Yeah,
I mean I'm not for
it's plausible.
I'm not for it. I'm you know, I wouldn't want that. But it's like when people say, you know, or like Mr. Conspiracy, he'd say things like, you know, he won't do certain things because he doesn't want to be tracked. And I said, but you're carrying around your fucking iPhone all the time. So if they want to track you, they're tracking you anyway.
Although it would have its advantages. I mean, it would eliminate missing persons cases, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, it would do that, yes.
Kidnappings. All that sort of stuff, that would just put an end to it.
But would it, though? Because if you wanted to kidnap somebody, wouldn't you just cut the chip out of them?
Well, it depends where it is.
I mean, you know, well, it's going to be in your arm, isn't it? You know, if they're going to vaccinate it, or it's going to be in your buttock. I mean, where else are they going to put a needle?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
I'm just saying, you know, I've seen enough sci-fi films and stuff where they've been chipped and they just cut it out. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's not going to be a foolproof system.
No, you'd need to do it so that in order to get the chip out, you would end up killing the person. Which is fine if you want to kill them.
Yeah.
But if you need them alive, then you can't kidnap them anymore, can you?
No, but I mean...
There you go, solved it.
I don't know whether you've really thought about the medical ramifications there. Like, where are you going to place the chip so that if you want to remove it, you would die? In an artery, I suppose. It would have to sit in an artery.
The appendix.
The appendix?
It's useless. It doesn't do anything, so now it can be a convenient little sack.
Right, but then it's not going to kill you if you take the appendix out, is it? Because you don't need it.
Ah, yes, but how many people could successfully remove your appendix? If I said to you, right, here's a knife, remove my appendix now, would you know where to start? Would you know how to do it safely without killing me?
No, but if I was planning on kidnapping you and having to remove the chip from your appendix, I would probably research and look into how to... You know, because I wouldn't... Like, it wouldn't matter if it was neatly done or not, as long as you stayed alive.
Well, okay, then, in that case, seeing as we're all being tracked by our phones and Google anyway, then what we do is we say that unless you have medical qualifications that prove you're a doctor, anyone Googling how to remove an appendix will be immediately arrested.
Well, that's a very dictatorial and draconian measure.
Well, we have to put the new measures in place to save people.
But what if I was just looking up how to remove an appendix because just out of interest. I mean, you know.
Don't need to.
What do you mean you don't need to?
You don't need to know. That's what doctors are for.
No, but sometimes like, there's lots of things that you look up online just because you suddenly have a thought about it, don't you?
Well, okay, we'll have to put it somewhere else then.
Like the other day, right, nothing to do with the human body, but I suddenly thought, how do they make cricket balls? So I looked at that, right? So, you know, there are times when suddenly a thought will occur to you. So I know what a cricket ball looks like, but I don't know how they make it. I don't know what's in the middle of it. Turns out it's cork, by the way.
Oh.
But, you know, you just have those thoughts, and then you Google it. So imagine, like, you're just sitting there thinking, I wonder if you take an appendix out. And then the next thing, you know, SAS are jumping through your window and arresting you. I think it's a little bit harsh.
No, it's fine. We can put out a campaign first.
Okay.
To let people know.
Don't Google this.
You know, we'll give them all a two-week window. For those of you who want to know... Oh, no, we can't do that, because then the psychopaths will prep. No, we can't. No, no, no. No, it's
going to happen. Your system is flawed, mate.
It is flawed. I just found the own flaw in my system.
Because then what if you get appendicitis and you've got to take the appendix out anyway? Then what happens to the chip? You haven't thought this through, mate. It's rubbish.
Have we got any other organs that don't serve any other purpose? That won't explode on you or anything?
No, I mean, you've got your tonsils that can come out, but again...
No, you could snip the... God, it would hurt, but... God, what about just behind the heart?
Just behind the heart.
Yeah.
So that's where the chip's going to be.
So it's impossible to remove it, basically, without killing someone.
Unless you're medically trained. Fair enough.
Exactly.
Okay, right. There's a system. Talking of killing, right, 23% of Brits believe that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered.
I thought it was... Well, I must say, I didn't even realise that was a conspiracy. I thought that was a fairly well-established...
Well, I've just watched a four-part documentary on Netflix about Jeffrey Epstein, and it does seem to suggest that the results would suggest that you wouldn't get the damage he had by hanging yourself in the way that he was supposed to have done.
Hmm.
But the guy was a bastard, so I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah, fuck him.
What a horrible man. Oh, it's an amazing documentary, but horrible. Right, a couple more. There's a link between 5G and COVID. 28% believe that.
Yeah, I've heard that. People were setting fire to the 5G masks despite
madness.
The fact the 5G masks weren't even fucking turned on yet.
UFO and alien sightings have been seen in Area 51 at Roswell. 29% believe that. Now, Roswell's an interesting one. Do you know much about Roswell?
I know it's heavily... I was going to say coned off, but I think it's a bit more professional than a few cones.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like your builders who haven't put cones out. You know, better put a few out next time.
I think maybe zoned off is a better word.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive area. But the whole thing's fascinating. The whole kind of Roswell incident is fascinating because I've seen so many programs about it. I don't know what to think of it, right? Because I'm fairly sceptical. But there's something about that was weird in that the man who initially found the craft... And the beings, right? He almost sort of told the press, I think, that that's what he saw and that he'd found all this bizarre metal and material. And then the next day, he had to give this press conference and there's a photo of him with an old weather balloon. He just said, oh, that was a weather balloon in the end, right? Mm. So the whole thing's weird. And there's lots of people who claim they worked there and they saw the bodies being wheeled in and they were threatened not to say anything. And I find that Area 51, it's a fascinating one. I'm not saying that aliens were definitely there, but I think there's something, obviously it's a military base, so there's lots of things that they could have been testing. But the whole thing's a bit weird about that.
Yeah, I'd like to know why they can't just tell us what it is. If it's nothing to do with aliens, why not just tell us what it is?
Yeah, well, I think because Roswell was, what, back in the, was it late 40s or early 50s? So, I mean, a long time's passed, you know. And if that stuff is still there and they can't tell us, well, what if there are aliens and there's proof of aliens, why can't they tell us?
I don't know why they couldn't tell us, maybe to avoid panic, but also isn't there something in American law, which again I'm not an expert on, which says that after a certain amount of years, documents have to legally be released?
Well, it's the same here. I mean, you know, after a period of time, but I don't think all there are some documents that will never be released.
Right.
I think there are certain documents that can be and some that can't, depending on how they're classified.
I personally don't really believe in aliens, and I don't really think there was any aliens at Roswell, but I would sympathise and say they don't really help themselves with this level of secrecy they clothe themselves in.
I'd kind of like to think there was aliens there, because I'd like to believe there is... life out there. So there's a bit of me that really likes to believe that something did happen there. But then the sort of more sort of logical side of me kicks in and just says, no, it can't be. So it's a weird one. I love the whole Roswell thing.
Yeah.
Right, two more. Trump is being blackmailed by Russia, 34%.
I would say it's... I have no idea if it's true. I would say it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it wasn't their thing that they supposedly had video of him being pissed on by prostitutes?
Oh, the water sports tape.
I mean, maybe they're still blackmailing him over that. Who knows? And finally, COVID-19 was made in a lab to lower the Earth's population. 38% of British people believe that.
It would be a reckless thing to do, because the person who invented it, you would assume, unless they also made the vaccine at the same time, would have no way of ensuring that they themselves or their loved ones, friends and family didn't get it.
Yeah, you can't. You've put it out there, so it's uncontrollable. I mean, you could kill everybody off.
Yes.
You know, you can't guarantee how many people are going to get it and how many people are going to survive. So I think it's absolute nonsense, isn't it?
It is.
So I think
rubbish.
What we've discovered is there's a lot of nonsense, but aliens certainly exist at Roswell.
Okay, Trev, so I just wanted to end with this. We were sent a great news story from our mate Jace Patrick in America.
Yes.
He has sent us via Twitter. And again, it speaks to what we've been talking about in this podcast of just instant, unnecessary, unhinged rage. And I love this. The story reads, Ron Newman of Chatham in Kent was sentenced to 140 hours community service by Croydon Crown Court, so our neck of the woods.
Isn't it amazing that something that happened in Croydon Crown Court is being reported in America so that Jace in America can see it?
So he knows that even internationally, Croydon is known as a shithole. Oh, dear. 140 hours community service after hitting his friend over the head with a guitar because he kept playing the wrong chords in the Eagles' Peaceful, Easy Feeling.
Wow.
I mean, the irony of the song he was fucking up as well.
I mean, that's just incredible. Why would you... Like, how many times would you have to play the wrong note to really rankle somebody? I mean, I remember as a kid, my brother singing the wrong lyrics to a song over and over again. And in the end, I did get a little bit pissed off. Not enough to physically hurt him, but enough to just say, those are not the words.
I imagine...
Just listen to the words.
I imagine you could annoy a stranger, you know, mild irritation by keep playing the wrong chords. But this says it was his friend.
His friend. So
and then twatted him with a guitar.
You know, with your friend, you have generally extended levels of patience.
Yeah.
So it must have got to the point where I'm thinking it must have almost been in the hundreds of times. And I don't know whether this was on one occasion or whether it was just over a period of time. You know, maybe they like to get together, have a jam, and every time they get to that song, this guy plays the wrong note. And after the sort of thousandth time, what was his name? Ron Newman.
Let me check. Yes, I think that's right. Yes, yeah, Ron Newman.
So old Ron Newman, he's had enough. He's like, fucking play the right note. And you know sometimes when rage just overtakes you?
Yeah.
You know, and he's just picked up his guitar. And it's that moment where the moment he probably struck his friend in the face with the guitar, he regretted it. But what I'm hoping is that when he did hit his friend with the guitar, by some amazing stroke of fortune, it played the correct note. So there we are. That's about it for another Trev and Ben podcast. We normally do a couple of recommendations. I'll tell you one thing I've been watching this week, which is absolutely phenomenal. Okay. If you like true crime things, it's called Outcry.
Okay.
And I think it's only about 4 or 5 episodes. I won't give too much away, but I tell you what, it's another one of those things where you look at it and you go, I mean, I'll be really interested. The next time we have Jace Patrick on, I'd like to talk to him about this from an American point of view, because I think in this country we have quite a respectful but cynical view of our police force.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's just me, but I kind of get that feeling. Whereas in America, there's this thing that the police can do no wrong, that they're, you know, they're amazing. I mean, I think things are changing because of certain recent events in the States, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't want to get myself into the legal system in a small town in America.
No, and no, this, God, no.
And this documentary is another one of those stories. And I won't give too much away, but it is incredible. It's this, just this young guy finds himself in a situation and, well, the story and the way the program's made is just phenomenal. So it's Outcry. It was on Sky Crime, I think, if you've got access to that, but maybe you can find it elsewhere. It's well worth a watch, I'll tell you that.
Nice.
And just while we're talking about Jace, actually, when he was on, he recommended we watch Ozark.
Yes.
And I've only just started to get around to watch it. And I think Jace said when we watched it that it's, you might find it a little bit, I think he said it's full of depressing figures or something like that. And I tell you what, the thing about Ozark is I'm watching it, but my God, it feels a slog. I'm going to get through it. I've only got 6 episodes to get to the end of season 3 now. But there's not one likable character in it. And I need a likable character. I need someone to root for in a book or a TV show. And none of them are likable.
So what's your interest in just watching a bunch of arseholes for hours on end?
The story is good enough to keep you going.
Okay.
But in terms of the characters, my God, and you sort of hope that there's going to be a redeeming moment for at least one of them. But at the moment, I'm not sure about. But I'm sort of enjoying it. So thank you, Jace, for recommending it. It's been on the back burner for a while, but I'm finally getting around to it. And you are right. In a way, it is pretty depressing. So yeah, thanks very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime on Twitter. We're at Trev and Ben. We do love to hear from you. Let us know of anything you want us to watch or listen to, or anything you want us to talk about. We will stick it in a podcast at some point. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Bye.